Namaste, everybody. I'm actually here to share some thoughts on renal denervation based on my previous experience with the technology in industry, as well as a reviewer in the EU on some of these renal denervation devices until the recent past. Renal denervation as a technology has seen some ebb and flow. There have been multiple studies that missed their endpoints, citing trial design, measurement variability, etc., and the field seemed down for a while. But now it's back in the news with recent FDA approvals of ReCor's and Medtronic's renal denervation systems. The FDA's physician panel voted overwhelmingly in favor of the ReCor device, while it actually voted down the Medtronic device because one trial had missed its endpoint and the other barely met its efficacy endpoint. Now, this is a technology that pretty much everyone with the slightest of bents on medical devices has been keeping tabs on. After all, we all have family members, or in some cases, we're personally battling hypertension, which is a precursor to many pathologies, including significant cardiovascular diseases. So to think of it, the benefits of controlling blood pressure are manifold. And importantly, the magic pill has been elusive to date. There are patients whose blood pressure cannot be controlled despite lifestyle changes, exercise, and in a lot of cases, three or more drugs per guideline-directed medical therapy. So for such patients, renal denervation may present as a therapy by way of augmentation. Part of the BP story is the increased activity of renal nerves that leads to elevated BP or blood pressure. And currently, drugs do not specifically target renal nerves. This is where renal denervation seeks to dabble. Therefore, from an indications for use perspective, renal denervation becomes an adjunctive treatment for those in whom lifestyle changes and drugs or medication are unable to control blood pressure. That's vital calibration as we get into this discussion. So what's the technology all about? It involves a minimally invasive procedure whereby renal nerve activity is disrupted through ultrasound or radio frequency ablation, which can lower blood pressure. This is an invasive procedure. It's also an irreversible process. It's not really a standalone therapy or a cure-all by any means. It's at best an augmentative therapy whose long-term benefits and durability of benefits are currently unknown, or shall I say, less studied. What does the data say? What does the data for renal denervation say? The data shows a modest reduction in blood pressure, approximately 5 to 8 millimeters of mercury, depending on the data set you're looking at. I'm not getting into the details of the time points and the techniques of BP measurements, since the published data and conference discussions indicate that a significant majority of patients are back on medications 2 to 6 months post-procedure. Key point to bear in mind. Okay, so what have we learned after more than a decade of clinical trials? There are several clinical trials in the renal denervation space that have missed their efficacy endpoints. And I specifically say efficacy because safety is not much of a concern with this technology. And if one delves into the data analysis, one of the reasons for the same appears to be a differential use of medications. You can also think of it in terms of patient compliance varying significantly across the control and the test arm of the studies. Through some of these studies, we've learned that the Hawthorne effect, that is, you know, patient compliance and patient behavior change one when under observation versus when they're not. We've learned that measurement bias is real. Placebo effect has been reiterated in many ways, and technique variability, all of these put together, are very real and true confounders of the renal denervation dataset. Also, we've learned that the clinical study designs, were not ideal. And importantly, we've learned that renal denervation is at best an adjunctive therapy. All right. So, why the skepticism about this technology? This really is the main part, because there's a lot of data out there. Not everybody is sold. Why the skepticism? When I was a reviewer for BSI, it was clear that the uptake of the technology in the post-market phase in the EU was slow. In fact, I think it was confined to certain clinical studies only. And currently, there are a host of items that are at best unclear about this technology and the benefit-risk aspects of this technology. At the onset, there are significant risks associated with renal denervation being an invasive and an irreversible procedure. Moreover, it's an expensive procedure. From a benefits perspective, here are some of the items that, once again, remain unclear at best. There are no markers for procedural success. The durability of the BP lowering effect is largely unknown, except for an odd data set here and there. A significant number of patients are back on blood pressure meds 2 to 6 months post-procedure, and to think of it, this really needs to be compared against the outcomes produced by cheap, non-invasive blood pressure medication that works well for the most part. Also, there is no information on quality of life improvements and other patient-reported outcome measures. Most importantly, folks, what is the target patient population who is expected to be most responsive? Is it the mild to moderate hypertensive patients? Or is it those with severe uncontrolled hypertension? The renal denervation devices have been on the market in the EU for a while now, and not too much has been generated by way of PMCF data to help answer some of these questions in that population. But with the US approval of the ReCor and Medtronic devices, it is likely that more post-market data will be generated, given the serious considerations around reimbursement for this technology. So to think of it, what are reviewers going to look at and what must be presented by manufacturers for review in the post-market phase? What could some of the expectations, both of laymen as well as reviewers at the agency or even notified bodies, be like? I'm presenting this more as questions because the answers are not available to a lot of these questions. And that's why the importance on the post-market phase. Will we see the discovery and routine usage of biomarkers for procedural success? Or will there be other measures for procedural success that are currently eluding us? To think of it, ablation is done to the best of the physician's guesstimate, right? But there are no markers for procedural success. Do we always get transmural ablation? We're not really sure. We can show that on the bench, but it's a different story with blood flowing and all of that. Will we see use of means to intervene with the renal nerve bundles in a reversible manner? This alludes to a different technology, but can we see intervention in a reversible manner on renal nerve bundles to understand if at all, irreversible renal denervation will be effective in a given patient? Will that be a better way for patient selection? What patient-reported outcomes are measured and considered from a benefit-risk perspective? What does the benefit-risk discussion look like for those with significant comorbidities? I'm thinking renal disease, isolated systolic hypertension, diabetes, and so on. What about racial groups, or actually, for that matter, even women who were underrepresented in the trials conducted? Like I alluded to earlier, from the published data, it isn't clear as to who the ideal patient population may be. Is it the severe, resistant, uncontrolled population, or is it those with mild to moderate risk? To be frank, I am yet to see a patient risk classification stratified benefit risk analysis. Being familiar with the data, it can't be the same for both groups, mild to moderate and severe resistant. In fact, one of the things I'd really like to see being made public, both in the EU and in the US, actually for that matter, anywhere in the world, is the approving regulatory authority's benefit risk analysis, which forms the crux of any device approval. For example, the FDA recently approved Medtronic's renal denervation device, despite the physician panel having reservation about efficacy and long-term benefits. Why not go the additional step and publish the benefit risk discussion along with the published approved labeling? If anything, the entire medical device industry would be better off from what we learn, and patients would be very clear about what they're getting and what they can expect. Consider risk as well. Most importantly, the effect size or blood pressure reduction is still rather modest, around 5 to 7 or even 8 millimeters mercury. Moreover, It is an invasive procedure, and like I said earlier, an irreversible process, which in itself presents many significant risks. It's also a procedure wherein a significant number of patients are back on BP meds 2 to 6 months post-procedure. So to bring all of this together, earlier on, I said the benefits are manifold, and it's intended to reduce the risk of cardiovascular events down the line, right? So to be very frank, it's very easy to see why physicians and patients alike may be skeptical and perhaps will remain so until someone actually does a hard clinical endpoints-focused study, or in other words, a clinical outcomes-focused study. This needs to be a study designed to detect the impact of blood pressure reduction following a renal denervation procedure on hard clinical endpoints and a correlation of the same with outcomes like stroke or MACE and any such other cardiovascular events, because the whole point of renal denervation is to lower BP so that it reduces the risk of cardiovascular events. I hope you found this useful. Thank you very much.